RadioMD.com. A daily dose of Melanie means a daily dose of health. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Have you ever heard of step therapy? No, it's not something you do in an aerobics class, but it could be something that helps you to become a more consumed health advocate, to become a little bit healthier when you're taking your meds and deciding whether you're going generic or whether you're going to, how you're going to do it. Really, my guest today is Mark Heyerman. He's clinical professor of law at the University of Chicago Law School. Welcome to the show, Mark. So tell us a little bit about step therapy in regards to medications and certain orders that we use them.
Yeah, so step therapy is actually can be a not so good thing. Step therapy is what is done by health insurance companies. And what they say to doctors and patients is you must always start the patient on the absolutely cheapest medication. And only if the patient fails, we often call this, another term for this is fail first, can the patient be put on another medication, the next cheapest, and then if that fails, put on the next medication. And that can be perfectly okay for patients and save us all money. But often there are good reasons why the doctor doesn't want to start with the cheapest medication. Starting with the cheapest medication and waiting for the patient to fail can have very serious negative consequence for the patient. And the doctor often knows this. And so if you're going to have a step therapy program, as many insurance companies are doing to save money, we like saving money, but if you're going to do that, you need to have exceptions. You need to allow doctors and patients to say, no, there's a really good reason why the cheapest medication won't work for this patient.
Now, I have actually experienced this myself, and with kids, sometimes you'll get prescribed a certain antibiotic. So we're talking antibiotics first, because in that there is such a broad range, Mark, of antibiotics, from the cheapest amoxicillin all the way up to like a Cipro, which can cost you $100 if you don't have some kind of deductible going on.
Yep.
And sometimes they'll say, okay, well, this infection or this something is going to require Cipro right off the bat, or one of those really expensive antibiotics, and you, as a consumer, you go, whoa, when you go to the pharmacy. And you say, well, couldn't we have just started with Amox? But in the reverse, you start, and then you have to stay on antibiotics and move your way up that step to the one that actually works. So as a consumer, what do you do? Do you trust your doctor in that they're doing what the insurance company says, or how do you know?
Well, the thing is that if the doctor is saying that the cheaper medication won't work, the doctor should be able to prove to the insurance company and require the insurance company to cover that and not to put all the burden on patients. I mean, another problem is that insurance companies may require patients to pay lots of money for medications that are necessary for the patient. But this is typically done as, you know, as a way to save money. And again, there's nothing wrong with saving money for the insurance company and, of course, for the patient, because in the end, we all pay for the cost of health care one way or the other. But
yes, we do.
But if you require people to fail, whether it's for a medication to treat an infection or cancer or the area that I know most about, which is mental health issues, the failure can be quite difficult and quite expensive. So if someone has a serious mental illness and you don't give them the appropriate medication, one, the patient will suffer from that, have physical or mental pain, depending upon the condition, may end up in the hospital, which is not good for anyone, may end up, some people with mental illnesses end up engaging in behavior that ends up getting them arrested when they don't get their good medication. And, of course, that's not good for the rest of us either. And doctors will know sometimes that there's a very good reason not to give someone a particular medication, and the insurance company should be required to have exceptions to step therapy. So, for example, in the mental health field, some of the medications have very serious side effects, including great weight gain and exacerbation of diabetes. And so if the doctor knows you have those conditions, the doctor's saying, I'm not giving that medication to my patient because it could kill him, even though it'll be very effective. It might be very effective for the mental health condition. And so the doctor will have a very good reason for not using that medication and for using one that doesn't cause weight gain.
Well, give us a little bit of an example in mental illness as far as, are we talking about medications for bipolar disorder or
sure.
clinical depression? So if you do that, if that step therapy is required in the event of, you know, someone is a manic or clinical in depression and they don't get the proper medication and they have thoughts of suicide or
they
commit suicide when maybe the medication in the first place might have stopped those feelings.
Yes, that's a very good example, and it is. And again, if the patient has just been diagnosed with the mental illness for the first time and has never been on medication before, the doctor may have no particular reason to start with anything other than the cheapest medication, and that's perfectly fine. But often what will happen is you will change insurance companies, and your employer may end up causing you to change insurance companies, or you may change jobs or whatever. And your new insurance company will say, well, you must start with our cheapest medication, even though the doctor knows that that medication hasn't worked for you in the past and knows which medication does work for you. And so you need to have exceptions, again, when the doctor and the patient know that the cheapest medication doesn't work and they know which one does. They should allow, the insurance company needs to have procedures available to allow doctors and patients to do the right thing for the patient.
How can we, as you say, get the insurance companies to step up to this? How can we as consumers have any say in this at all?
Well, I mean, so one of the things is that most insurance companies have appeals processes so that if they deny you access to any kind of treatment, you can appeal. And those are often quite effective. But one of the things that's happening across the country, including here in Illinois where I am, is that we're trying to pass legislation that requires insurance companies to take into account substantial clinical evidence that would allow exceptions to step therapy or fail first, as we often call it, require the insurance company to have a process so the doctor can tell the insurance company, no, there's a darn good reason why this medication won't work, and I know which one we should give.
Now, Mark, I want to ask you, because I'm in Illinois as well.
Uh-huh.
Is this a political topic? I mean, now we have a Republican governor. Is this a topic that is political at its very nature because you are asking for sort of an outage of the insurance companies? You're asking them to be regulated, and that right there is something that can become very political.
Well, of course, these days everything is political, but there is, you know, people who have serious health conditions are Republicans and Democrats, and there has been bipartisan support for making sure that people have access to the right treatments. In the end of the day, often this is the insurance companies are engaging in behavior that is not, in the end, good for them. And because it's just easier to have an across-the-board rule. And so there is substantial evidence that if you force them to do the right thing, in the end, they save money, we save money.
Of course, they would save money because then you don't have to end up committing somebody to the hospital if the medication doesn't work for them. So in the end, if you start out with something that may be a little bit more expensive at the beginning, at the outset, then maybe it's going to lead to, it's like preventive medicine. It's sort of, thank you so much, Mark. And it's such great information. And as consumer advocates, we have to be on top of these kinds of bits of information so that we know what we're dealing with when we're dealing with our own health and the insurance companies and our doctors. That's what we're talking about here. This is Melanie Cole. Stay tuned and stay well.